Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Samantha.
And we have Danielle back with us. And today she is talking about the consumer experience with us. So to start things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is and kind of what you think is best practice for it?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. The whole consumer journey has been a real buzzword in the corporate world. And for many years, that's really what the big brands have been focusing on. And it came out from McKinsey, the big consultancy company. And it's become uber complicated. But essentially, it's just about taking your consumers on a journey from when they first hear you to making them so passionate about you, they just want to rave about you and tell all their friends about you. So essentially, it's just thinking of them, taking them on a journey, and it's a step-by-step process. And before I kind of go through the steps, I think a really good thing to say up front is, as with any journey, so if you're going on like a big vacation and you've got multiple stops, you can't go from one stop and then skip another one if you've already bought the tickets. So for example, if you've got a 3-stop flight, you can't just go from 1 to 3. You have to kind of go to stop 2. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs get very frustrated at that because they want to go to the purchase or they want to go to the advocacy part, but they have to do some steps beforehand. So essentially, there are 5 steps in the journey. So you can Google consumer journey or purchase experience, and you will see thousands and thousands and thousands of examples. But I'll take you through the steps and some examples of how you can apply it practically to your business. The 5 steps are awareness, consideration, purchase, retention, and advocacy. And I'll use the good old example of Starbucks to bring that to life for us. So because I'm a terrible Starbucks addict, I think. So awareness, so step one. So everyone's heard of Starbucks. And the reason why you've probably heard it is you've seen someone walk around with a Starbucks cup, or you've seen them advertised somewhere, or you've driven past the Starbucks store. So awareness is essentially just, have people heard of you? Not necessarily like you or trust you, but they've heard, they understand what you do. So you sell coffee. And then consideration is when people get to know you a little bit better. So they may walk past you and they may the Starbucks and then turn back and say, oh, should I cross the road and go to that local coffee shop? Or should I go into that Starbucks that has this really awesome poster of a great drink that looks delicious? So it's kind of, how can you get people to stop and notice you a little bit better? So they've heard of you, but it's about stopping and kind of understanding who you are. And then the second part of consideration is where they're actively evaluating you against the competition. So they may be thinking in their mind, okay, I could go into this Starbucks, but that one across the road, it's local, or they have better customer service, or I like the cake in there a little bit more. So that's kind of where they're kind of actively evaluating you. And then the next step is purchase, which every entrepreneur wants. And often people skip the step of consideration. They go straight from awareness to purchase, and that just doesn't happen, unfortunately. So purchase is when they buy from you. So that's nice and super simple. So that's woohoo. And then you get to the retention step. So step 4 is about retention. And that's just about keeping the customers. So for example, if you sell stationery, that's about coming back to them and saying, hey, you know that beautiful book that you bought from me? You know, we have matching cards, or we have a matching pen, or we have something that would really complement that product. And then the real holy grail of marketing is advocacy. And if you think about Starbucks, those are those people that are on Instagram or on Facebook or whatever they're doing on social media, like sharing, oh my gosh, I love the new, I think there's oatmeal lattes in Korea have just launched. So like I've seen people in Starbucks like crazy for the oatmeal latte. So it's how can you get those people really singing and shouting about what you do and get so excited that they then share it, and then people go in a people go and are not just aware of you, but then they start to consider you and then go around that journey themselves.
And I think another example of Starbucks for the advocacy part is their holiday cups. Everyone yes. goes absolutely bonkers for those holiday cups. And like, it's one of those top secret things where people try to guess what they're going to be, or, you know, there's buzz that's created based off of like an employee leaks something or whatnot. And by the time those holiday cups come around, every single person the day they launches, regardless of if they like coffee or not, wants to go and get one.
Exactly. And the great thing about this consumer journey is it's a cycle. So you think of it like a circle, and basically it's continuous. So those holiday cups, I remember then there was all that controversy about green versus red, and it was like, oh, shock horror. Well, that was amazing PR for people that aren't into Starbucks or don't, I don't know how you can know the brand, but it's a great way of them sitting and taking notice of the brand and thinking, oh, I wonder what is all this fuss about? Maybe I'll go in and check it out one day. So it's thinking about this journey as a cycle, and not just kind of awareness to purchase, which I see so many entrepreneurs do.
I think the other thing besides just forgetting to take the consideration step is a lot of people, once purchase is there, they stop and they don't think about how they can retain or get that advocacy, and they stop nurturing the clients. Okay, you've purchased from me, I did the job, we're done. And they don't get the feedback or the, you know, the thanks so much for being my client. There's not all that extra care that happens after the fact of working with them. So you lose that retention or that advocacy, which could potentially grow your awareness and bring in new people.
Absolutely. It's fundamental. And I see so much value from just applying this process. It could be to a, for example, you're launching a course and you think through the consumer journey, all the different steps that you can get people through to this course. So your awareness may be with your current customers. So sending them an email and saying, hey, I'm launching this. I know you've purchased from me before, so I'm going to give you, you know, a discount. And then that's what will help them to move them to consideration, all those kind of things. And this, the consumer journey is so fabulous because you can apply it. For example, if you're thinking about your total business, you can apply it. If you're doing one activity, you can apply it. If you're launching a blog, you can apply it. It's uber versatile, but it really helps you think through those steps so that you are truly taking people on a journey with you.
And I think if everyone were to apply this to everything that they're doing in their business, not only does it create that know, like, and trust factor quicker, because you're consistently giving your clients, customers, and potential customers the experience that they're craving, but you're also creating this experience for people who have already gone on this journey with you that then can go and rave about you and say, well, she did this for me, and this is why you need to go and do this, because she only does this every, you know, quarter or every year or whatnot. And then that's how it kind of snowballs into, you need to do the work up front, but eventually the work then becomes the voice of other people.
Exactly. And a little something that I do is And in our previous episode, we talked about competition. I map out my key competitors' consumer journeys and then compare it to my own, just to understand what they're doing. And that really helps me understand where my big gaps are, but also what they're doing brilliantly that I can, I know we talked about steal with pride, but I can borrow from them. They're genius. So, and it's a really, that's a really nice way of applying it, is when you're doing your competitor analysis as well.
Well, and I think a great way that you can borrow from them is not necessarily to do exactly what they're doing, but to look at what activities they're applying for those stages. So like, is it a type of opt-in, or is it a course, or, you know, what are the things that they're doing to bring them through that journey, and then apply what you do to those, that same type of activity.
Exactly.
And I think to even take it a step further before we wrap up this episode is to apply it to all of your customers too. Because even though they've gone through the consumer experience to purchase from you, what are some ways that you can apply this to make their experience with you something that they then go rave about? Like one of the things that when I was at Creative at Heart, they talked about was really creating that solidified client experience so that not only do you retain them, but then it makes them feel special enough to then go shout out to the world what you did for them. And it really opened up my eyes to see some things that I was missing that I needed to implement in 2017 for my clients and I'm super excited about.
Before we do wrap up though, I want to ask that we go through the different pieces of the consumer journey and kind of give examples like where an opt-in would fall on the consumer journey, that sort of thing, so that people can understand that what they're doing, what activities are actually that piece. Because I think that's also the other missing step is not necessarily that they're skipping steps, but that they don't realize that what they're doing is a different piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know we've had this conversation before about an opt-in not being awareness, an opt-in's consideration. And so awareness would be kind of your basic, so you can use your advocates to, so awareness would be, for example, I had no idea what a Yeti microphone was until you told me, Samantha, so that was my awareness. So you as an advocate told me. And then, or just your Facebook page that you've maybe spent some money on Facebook advertising, or your Instagram page, that's a really good way of building awareness. And then you move into consideration when you start doing things like free opt-ins or free webinars or sampling, for example, if you're a product-based business. Or maybe if you're a photographer, you have some guest spots in some kind of media, like in a local newspaper or someone's blog or something. That's when you build them, you start moving them into consideration.
Would you consider a blog post something that would be in consideration? Just yeah. Writing blog posts and having somebody read it?
Yeah, absolutely, because they're getting engaged in what you do. They're wanting to know a little bit more about what you mm-hmm. do. So that's a really good example. Mm-hmm. And consideration kind of comes in two parts, because then you have that real active evaluation. So maybe like a 15-minute complimentary call then becomes that active evaluation. So it's a step on from the opt-in, but they're able to truly understand what you're about and see whether or not they connect with you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they are looking through your Etsy page and they start really reading about what your product's all about and start comparing you to other people that are making similar products. So that would be really, really where they're actively considering you. And then the purchase, that's nice and easy. So that's a super, it's like, yeah, you got the sale. And then the retention could be, I mean, when they purchase, you can go straight into retention and maybe do a, for example, if you're selling your consultancy or your coaching or a masterclass or something like that, you're able to upsell them. So once they've sold, you say, for 24 hours later, you can purchase this bundle for X percentage. That's retention already right there, because then you've got them bought into the next stage of the cycle. Or it may come a little bit later. It might be they've purchased the mini course, but then the retention could be you offer your one-to-one consultancy, for example, to supplement that mini course. And a good example, one from Starbucks, would be that limited edition. Mm-hmm. So the limited edition products. So it may be your Christmas or your seasonal products if you're a kind of a creative maker. And then when you go into advocacy, that's really one of the things that you're doing. So are you making them affiliates, for example? Are you, what are you giving them? Are you giving them VIP access to something that you're not giving to your regular purchasers? Are you getting them to beta test certain stuff for you? Are you asking them for their opinions on new product design or asking them to sample stuff? That's really where they become those brand advocates, and they feel special and they feel really invested in your brand.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, people tend to not necessarily get confused in those stages, but they don't really know where to apply it. And I think that was a very good breakdown for them. And I want to just add for the awareness stage too, guest posting is yes. a really great way to get awareness as well, because then it's on someone else's audience that then allows them to understand who you are. And then the opt-in or the consideration is then coming back to your site and seeing who you are.
Yeah.
Yes, or some of my favorites, collaborating with people or being on podcasts. That's a really big one. We can't forget podcasts. And that's why I wanted to go through was because I think a lot of the times people think opt-in is the first step.
Yes.
They forget that they have to somehow bring people to the opt-in, and that opt-in's really the second step. And we often forget upsells and things, and we instantly feel like people should shout us out after they've worked with us, but they don't. So it's important to make sure that we're doing that experience for them, that they really feel loved and taken care of, so that by the time they've gone through that journey, it doesn't stop at purchase or retention. It continues on to advocacy, because that's how the journey continues to somebody else.
Yep. And I was just going to say, pro tip before we end, for anyone who does blog posting or vlogging or anything like that, always have a call to action at the end, whether it's going on your email list or downloading your latest resource or something like that, that is in line with the messaging, because that will also then help with the consideration stage.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. For the show notes for this episode, as always, go to beautifullyboldpodcast.com. And to continue the conversation with us in the Facebook group, go to beautifullyboldpodcast.com/Facebook. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you next week.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.